So today is the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu. And, you know, the great devotee scholar and defender of the line of Rupa, Raghunath, Narayan Sanatan Goswami Prabhu. And it's also the appearance of the Vaman avatar, the dwarf incarnation. And actually, it's through Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu that we can harmonize many different things in terms of what is presented in Puranic literature and Veda and the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. He presents to us the concept that Purana can be understood in two ways. One is the meaning of ancient, very old, ancient, that old. And another is in the sense of fulfillment. So in this way, the Vedas, for example, they say with regard to the Lord and his pastimes, adbhutakram. Like we hear one of the names of Vamadeva is Trivikram. Vikram, it means steps. Krama can mean steps. Adbhuta krama means he of wonderful stride or steps. The steps he takes are wonderful. They're astonishing. They're wonder-inducing steps. But it just says that in a general sense without explaining it in great detail. And this is something interesting, according to Guru Maharaj, because the Vedas, they're considered to be the oldest religious books in the world, of which the Rig Veda is the oldest. So of all the scriptures that we can imagine, the Vedas are the oldest, and amongst the Vedas, the Rig Veda is the oldest. So when Guru Maharaj will invoke the Rig Veda mantra, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya Devi Vachaksuratatam Vishnur Yad Paramam Mama. Before any activity, Brahmins, those who, you know, theistic perspective is in their DNA, they always invoke the lotus feet of the Lord, which they say are like the sun. The way the sun illuminates the sky, the lotus feet of the Lord, may they illuminate everything, including the activities we are undertaking or our lives, everything. May they be illumined by the radiant lotus feet of the Lord. And those lotus feet mentioned in the Vedas, adbhutakram, they're taking the steps, are wonder-inducing, they're astonishing. But here, so Vedas, they're the oldest, but this name Purana means ancient. And in this sense, they have knowledge in them that is that predates Veda. So that's something very interesting. Right? We're saying Vedas are the oldest books in the creation, but here are some books that have knowledge, stories, Leela Path, that predate the Vedas. How can you harmonize those two ideas? As I was speaking to this one man who's sort of a self-ascribed scholar on Vedic history and different things, and discussing dates for this and that. And I said, although authors sometimes indicate the date of the completion of a book, the Purana, the histories in the Vedas and Puranas, etc., they're not saying, you know, at this year, this was done, and at that time. That's not how they measure time. They do it in terms of kalpa, again, Jiva Goswami. Different kalpas means different days of Brahma. Right? Day of Brahma, Sahasra Yuga Parjantam Ahor Yad Brahmano Vidu. 1,000 yuga cycles makes a 12-hour period of Brahma. That means 4,300,000,000 years. Vedas come along with the creation. But Puranas, how ancient are they? That they have knowledge, lila, pastimes from previous creations. So when I was explaining this to this so-called historian or so, he said, as much as he presents himself as a follower of Vedas, Vedic tradition, etc., when I said that, the Puranas have histories from previous creations, he said, no scholar will accept that. I said, exactly, you know, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atmabhakto. Only devotees can understand this, have the faith required to understand such things. Gyane Priyasamudapasanamanta Eva. It's beyond the scope of gyan or knowledge, intellectual knowledge, academic knowledge. No academician will accept that. Of course they won't. That is their problem. It's an academic approach. Jiva Goswami was not an academician. Now we say a great scholar. Right? What generally people, they pursue knowledge for self-promotion. Jiva Goswami, his scholarly pursuit, if we want to call it that, was to serve Rup, Sanatan, Raghunath, Gopalbhatta, their writings, to show that what they are revealing, there's evidence in Veda and Puranas to support that. He's giving all of the support and the references because they're, in one sense, in a divine state, almost like divine madness, writing such beautiful devotional literature. Plays about Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis. They're not giving shastric references to support. That's the service of Jiva Goswami Prabhu. So Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, they mentioned that Rup and Sanatan and Raghunath, they're writing Sanskrit literature, but whatever their ability was and their capacity, they're expressing with that. But Jiva Goswami went to Varanasi, Benares, to study Sanskrit. And we could say, to study the Sanskrit of what was acceptable or revered at that time. So to put, to couch the Krishna conception of Mahaprabhu, Rup Sanatan, Raghunath, and what would be not only acceptable to the scholars of the day, but revered by them. So Adbhutakram in the Vedas, just saying, he of wonderful stride, but it comes in the Puranas, the full explanation, story of Vaman avatar, and so many avatars. But we can see the sweetness of Krishna's pastime, the hint of going in the direction of sweetness, and almost some element of humor. As I mentioned previously, we were discussing Kurma. So he appears as a tortoise. Who is First of all, Aja, unborn, he has birth past time, but, and he has appearance past times. He appears as Kurma, tortoise, and although he is omnipotent, he cannot scratch it. His back has an itch, and he cannot scratch it, because we know a tortoise cannot do that. But you would think, no, but he's God. As a tortoise, he can make his arm go real long. But that's not his play. And this is a hint at a Prakriti Leela as well, that no, he's a turtle, so he can't reach that spot. That gives all of us, all of you, the opportunity for seva. How to scratch that itch. People, they want to say, can God do this? Can he make a rock so heavy he can't lift it? And, you know, Govardhan pastime sort of answers that question. But here we see the sort of the humanness, the human type element. He has an itch on his back. Why don't we just say, can God have an itch? Forget all the other complicated stuff. Let's just start with something really simple, right? As our philosophical approach. Can God have an itch? Would you give him that? That like you, like me, like our little furry friends, he can have an itch and want to scratch that itch and get some relief. Except, Adbhutakram, he's of wonderful strength. Everything he does is wonderful. The relief of his itch results in his, as he's like, he's breathing out the Vedas. Those are the pastimes of the infinite. So here, I say, with almost a touch of a light touch in the humorous sense, that Bali Maharaj, who's actually the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, but, and this history is dealt with over several chapters in the Bhagavatam. But suffice to say, he's, in this context, the leader of the Asuras, and they've taken over heaven, the heavenly planets and everything. And the demigods are more or less in hiding, and they're in a dip, so... You know, paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chaduskritam. This theme is always there. Deva asura. Right? To support the devas, the godly, and by extension, the devotees. So, Vamandeva appears as the son of Aditi. So sometimes, like in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Narada is praising Indra, saying like, Vamandeva is your little brother, he's a family member. Anyway, so Vamandeva appears for the specific purposes of this passage, regaining the world, put it back under the control of devatas, the godly-like persons. But really, his pastimes always, at the heart of the matter is bhakti, devotion, and to shine a spotlight on the exalted devotion of a particular devotee. If we look repeatedly, we'll see thematically that this is there. The Lord always wants to show that he is the slave of his slave. It may make us uncomfortable when Guru says, you know, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Das Das Anudas. The more easily digestible, consumable version is, you know, servant of the servant. Because we like to think, yeah, you mean like an executive assistant? Kind of, you know, have that on your business card. Executive assistant. But Guru Maharaj, he wants us to feel something. I mean, he says, slave of the slave. Then we think, well, that doesn't have a nice ring to it. He'd say, not even directly a slave, slave of the slave. And we're like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? But as when the British accuse Gaudiya Mathe, they think they're promoting slavery in the name of, you know, theistic culture. And Saraswati Thakur said, to be Krishna Das, Jiveshwarupoy Krishna Nityadas, this is not the degradation of a human being. This is the most dignified position that one can achieve. Ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamiham. So Krishna, he's saying, the general rule, as someone approaches me, I reciprocate that. And that covers everything. As we see, they have all varieties of approach. It includes even the non-devotional approach or the so many things. But he's saying, as we refine that into a devotional approach, the sort of devotion that's in the heart of the devotee, I reciprocate that. It's actually very beautiful. It's almost saying, as they conceive me, I am to be conceived. Right? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hritsaroja ase shutekshita pato nanunata pungsang tadharya urugaya. So when we say heart-to-heart transaction, still, what is in the heart of that devotee? Krishna's reciprocating that type of heart. And as we told recently with regard to Mahaprabhu, Krishna and Srimati Radharani, Krishna is saying, what's in the heart, the type of devotion in the heart of Srimati Radharani and Brajagopis, I can't reciprocate. I promised in Bhagavad Gita that I would. I qualified that to a certain degree in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto. Bhakti yoga, bhakti dadati, mukti dadati karhichit, swana bhakti yogam. Saying, but here, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, where Krishna, he's even rejected the Brajagopis after blowing his flute sound, they're all assembling and he's telling them to go to their homes. And their tears are falling from their eyes, streaming down, and they're thinking, we have no Krishna Prem, we have no love for Krishna, because we understand that if one actually has Krishna Prem, Krishna comes under the control of that devotee. And here we are, we're being rejected by Krishna. Krishna's saying, this is inappropriate. You should return to your homes, your husbands, your families, etc., meeting me. And this seems unfair and cruel. Krishna's playing the sweet sound of his flute, the Vrajagopis are drawn irresistibly. Just as Jiva Goswami says, Bhagavan proper, bhajaniya guna vishishta, that there are different concepts of the infinite. You know, anoraniyan, mahato, mahiyan, smaller than the smallest, whatever you can conceive of the smallest, he's smaller than that. Greater than the greatest, whatever you can conceive of great, he's yet greater than that. And infinite power, so many things. But Guru Maharaj said, then what about infinite beauty? Infinite love? The love infinite. We can conceive of like infinite power. You know, people sort of get this distant look in their face. Infinite power. But what about infinite sweetness, infinite beauty? So Young Shama Sundarama Chintraguna Swarupam. Kandarpa, no, Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobam. Yeah. Kandarpa Koti. 10 million cupids condensed, personified as one. What kind of seductive, charming, attractive power is that? So Srila Jiva Goswami says, so real Bhagavan proper means you're so overwhelmed in attraction by his beauty, charm, love, and sweetness that you want to surrender yourself to him. That's how you know it's real. No self-surrender, then it's a fantasy, you know, of wish fulfillment, creative visualization. We're going to think, you've had some little perfunctory overview of Shastra scriptures and descriptions. Now you're going to voyeuristically imagine yourself as a super servitor in the spiritual world. It's a fantasy. It's fictitious. There's nothing there. But there's something there. Sneaky. Hare Krishna. So, real test, substantial means automatically you want to give yourself. And we're still nervous because we're suspicious. I mean, in this world, we live in the world of exploitation. You have good reason to be suspicious of everyone, including ourselves, especially ourselves. But when it comes to dealing with divinity, faith, Shraddha, Shabde, Vishvasa, Kohe, Sudrita, Nishchoy, Krishna, Bhakti, Koyali, Sarva, Karma, Krita, Hoy, saying like, how can I be suspicious of God? That puts me in a self-condemned position, right? How can I interrogate divinity, scrutinize divinity, God, the Supreme Being, etc., scrutinize, interrogate, and with that interrogative mentality that's repulsive. Right. It's not attractive, it's repulsive. Just as it's repulsive to a person in this world because God's a person, Krishna's a person. When in the establishing a relationship, if someone is asking too many questions, they're too personal, like, you know, in a courtroom, that sort of interrogation, that's not charming or endearing, it's repulsive. It's also repulsive to Krishna. Jnane priyasimudapasana mante eva. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manovya. But rather, we begin hearing about Krishna from sadhu shastra guru Vaishnav, like we hear in the Puranic literature about the Vamana avatar. So my point was that those gopis are thinking, they know, if you actually have Krishna Prem, So, slave of the slave, but Krishna becomes the slave of his slave. Offer yourself in slave-like devotion to Krishna, he becomes a slave to that devotee. So that is not their intention or aspiration. Rather, pure devotion is identified where they do not allow even a pinprick through which any remuneration could pass. Das Kori, Beton Mori, Deho Prema Dan, as expressed by Mahaprabhu, given in Charitamritam. They're saying, let me be your Das. Das means servant, also means slave. Dasi means female servant or slave girl. Take your pick. I think Slave Girl sounds, that would be a great screen name. Anyway, Das Kori Beton Mori Deho Premadan. Saying, let me be your servitor. Beton means salary, and let Prem be my salary. And then Guru Maharaj introduces the concept of compound interest. Like when you have some capital, investment capital, you invest that capital, and after some time you get some interest. So then you could spend the interest or accept the concept of compound interest. Take that interest and add it to the capital, and the capital increases and thereby draws more interest. Add to the capital, it keeps expanding. You see, that's the nature of real servitors. Right? They only want to increase their serving capacity. They're not looking for, you know, where's the enjoyment? You never hear, there isn't one description in authentic literature of someone saying, I've been chanting for so long, for 20 years, for 25 years, I did this, I did that. You know, I deserve something. No pure devotee will speak like that. Rather, Rupa Goswami gives the example of Srimati Radharani and Daruka. Daruka, the charioteer of Krishna, one of his services fanning, but sometimes he is overwhelmed by the beauty of Krishna, the good fortune of his situation, and he's experiencing ecstasy, one of the ecstasies, stumble. He's stunned. He cannot move. And although this is a deep ecstatic condition, he's cursing that ecstasy because he can't fan anymore. So he's seeing this ecstasy is interfering with my service. It's unwanted. And the example given of Radharani is sometimes she's seeing the beauty of Krishna and she's so overwhelmed by spiritual emotions that her eyes are flooded with tears of deep ecstasy, but that's blurring her vision of Krishna. So she's cursing those tears and that ecstasy. Still, the principle is there to be observed by expert devotee analyst that Krishna becomes the slave of his devotee. The infinite, that is what devotion is just, the infinite comes under the control of the finite. So Vamandev appears for this particular pastime as a dwarf. Anything like, why a dwarf? It seems an odd choice. But if we look at the pastime in full, it's a very sweet and wonderful choice. And I said, and even adds a little light touch to it, because he appears as a dwarf, but very beautiful. He's very cute, beautiful looking, and divine. He has like sun-like radiance and illumination. They think maybe the sun god incarnated, and Brahma, Shiva, they're all bringing him gifts. Because he's a brahmachari, so he gets the brahmadanda and the kamandalu, the water pot, a deer skin, some little sandals, an umbrella. And he's very charming. Remember, Krishna is always charming, and all just the supreme charm, in his most charming form is Krishna. But all of his avatars and incarnations are charming. They're beautiful. They're compelling. So Vamandev, he approaches Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is taking over the heavenly planets. He's more or less ruling the entire universe with his asura allies. And also being charmed by Vamandev, who's coming before him as a brahmachari. Like we see the monks on the road in the morning time, they go out begging alms. So you can see this little brahmacharis come to him to beg some alms. And by way of introduction, Vamandev is saying, oh, your grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, was such a great devotee. And he also had a kingdom in this world. And certainly he never turned anyone away. He was very generous in his gifts to the Brahmins and those deserving of charity. I know that's a great tradition in your family. No one was ever turned away. No request was ever denied. And so he's praising his family lineage, that goes back to Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. I told when Hiranyakashipu was searching for Vishnu to avenge the death of his brother Hiranyaksha, because as Varaha avatar, and Varaha is a boar, like the pig. How do they find things? Through smell, right? Like, you know, in Italy, they have the prized truffles, right? So the way, at least the legend, the way they find the truffles is they like take some pigs out in the, and the pigs can smell where they are, and then they dig up that area and they find the truffles. So they have a very powerful sense of smell. So when Varaha Dev, the earth is plunged in the nether regions of the universe, how does he find it? With his nose. And say, no, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows where it is. It's beyond GPS. Being omniscient, you know, but that's not his play. When I see some element of play, he's like with his nose, he's searching out the earth, like punyo gandag prithivyam cha, and he finds the earth, and with his two tusks, lifts the earth. And then what do we find later in Krishna's pastimes? Kubja, and she's Trivakra, bent in three places. And what is her occupation? She's what's the word? An aromatist, like who deals with fragrances, perfumery. I forget what the exact word is, but like that. She deals in you know, scented oils, essential oils, and things like that. See, back to scent. And what? How does Krishna straighten her out, as he steps with his lotus feet on her feet, and he puts his fingers like two tusks under her chin and goes so that she's no longer a hunchback. And then everyone sees, well, not only that, she's so beautiful, and like extraordinarily beautiful. It's mentioned perhaps by Vishwanath or another Bhagavatam commentator, she's a not only Bhu Shakti, but an incarnation of Satyabhama. So anyway, so this Vaman, he has something in mind. But we hear, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam from his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, when he was a boy. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. For each one, an archetype is given. Who got everything by hearing was Sukadev or Parikshit Maharaj, yeah. Kirtan, Smaran, Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, I believe Parikshit, Sukadev, Prahlad Maharaj. Lakshmi Devi Padasevanam, Archanam, maybe Preetu, Vandanam, Makura, offering prayers, Dasyam, Sakyam Atmani. But lastly, Atmani Vedanam. Giving yourself entirely is mentioned Bali Maharaj. This is the real purpose of Krishna's descent. Because Guru Maharaj also said something very interesting about that Jiva Goswami statement. Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta. He said he wants to feel us. As much as we want to have relationship, Krishna also, Mame Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, we're the infinitesimal complementary aspects of the infinite. We have these tendencies because Krishna has these tendencies. So what he's really after is Bali Maharaj's heart, but there's a way to get to that heart. So Bali Maharaj is saying, yes, my exalted grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, he was so generous, he never turned anyone away. You're such a beautiful, charming brahmachari. Whatever you'd like from me, I can give you. If you'd like, you know, a little island or, you know, your own village or something, you know, whatever you ask, I'm prepared to give that. And Vamandeva, he said, well, I've heard that to ask for more than you actually need, that's not conducive to spiritual life, spiritual practice. You should just, as much as you need, that's all you should have. Anything beyond that becomes a burden on your consciousness, it's distracting. You have to carry that with you karmically. One should, for successful pursuit of spiritual life and practice, just accept the bare, you know, what is the need, what is needed, the needful. Right. The bare necessities. So, and then I just need 3 steps of land measured by my feet. Right? And remember, he's a dwarf. So even if he was a regular sized person, you know, 3 steps would be not a lot to ask for, but to underscore, it's telegraphing to us, something's gonna happen. Like they say, if in the first scene of a play there's a gun, it's gonna go off later. So if he's a dwarf in the beginning, then that's gonna have something to do with size. But maybe not the way you think. Because achintya, Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable. So you're thinking, oh, dwarf, small, small. He's setting us up for his sweet play. We're thinking, dwarf, small, 3 steps, small, everything small. And so Bali Maharaj is saying, like, you're obviously young and inexperienced. He's talking to who is omniscient and, you know, Purana Purusham Navayomanam Chap. Anyway, he's saying, you're obviously inexperienced. I can understand you're a young brahmacharya, you don't understand things about the world, how it works and everything. Certainly, you should ask for more than that. I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, really, when you come to me, you say, there shouldn't be anything you need after that, right? And that's also going to be true. He said, you know, I can give, it's almost, you know, would be a fault on my part to only give that much. When you come to me, ask for something that there's nothing more to get after that. Vamadeva, oh, that's an interesting thought. But I really think 3 steps of land, 3 steps are sufficient for me. And Bali Maharaj said, well, have it your way. You know, reality is for itself and by itself. But his so-called guru, Shukracharya, he's observing all this. And this shows you how advanced someone can be spiritually, but not get it and be on the wrong side of history or on the wrong side, on the dark side. Shukracharya is saying, don't do it. He's Vishnu. Well, shouldn't it be like, do it because he's Vishnu? And he's saying, no, don't do it because, and Vishnu and those devatas, because of the political climate at the time, the devatas were his enemies and his friends are the asuras. It's a long story. But so he's saying, he's going to take everything from you. He, because he's Vishnu, he has this capacity, unlimited capacity. He's going to take everything and you're going to be left with nothing. And once you have nothing, then what are you going to do? And Shukracharya presents all these arguments against. And he's saying also, if you think that, you know, well, I made a promise, I have to keep my promise. He's saying, there are certain circumstances where lying is not forbidden. And he mentions them. And it's interesting. He's saying, like, when your life is being threatened, if you lie at that time to get out of that situation, there's no fault in that. Someone's going to take all your money. There are different, like, another example given is saying, like, in humor, like in jokes, we know so many jokes start off with something that just can't be true, right? They go, this and that happened. We know it's not, it's a joke. So in saying humorous things, you can lie because it's funny, makes everybody laugh. So they're saying there's no fault if the joke isn't true. That's won't count as lying in terms of a karmic reaction and all that. And it also says something I find interesting. It says, in dealing with women, to bring them under control, if you don't tell the whole truth, it's okay. It's right in the book. Of course, someone in the modern world said, that is a sexist statement. Whatever. But it says that we know, but I mean, we don't mean on very significant things, but on certain things, to keep the peace, if you don't say the whole truth, it's all right. Not only all right, it's desirable. So he mentions all these different circumstances and saying, so this is one of those circumstances. If you just say, like, try and get out of this, you won't be at fault. And that there's another sloka in the fifth canto, Guru Nasasyat, Swajano Nasasyan, Pita Nasasyan, Janani Nasasyan, etc. Sarvat Avimam Sambhupetam Rityum mentions that if someone does not deliver you from death, it means gives you mukti, liberation, and mukti proper, we understand, mukti arhat vanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti, is back to Krishna Das, Vishnujan, Vishnu Das, Krishna Das, servant, then they're not qualified to be a guru, a mother, a father, a teacher, a deity, a this or a that. So, and then examples given of those who rejected their so-called gurus. Because guru varga also means mother, father, etc. Prahlad rejected Hiranyakashipu. Bibhishan rejected his brother, Ravana. The yajna patnis, the wives of the Brahmins, who the Brahmins denied Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys lunch. The wives came running. Many examples are given. And again, Bali is given as the example of Guru Tyag. His guru, so-called, is Shukracharya. Bali Maharaj decides to say, no, if this is what you're saying, advising me, then you're not qualified to be guru. Guru Rapi Aviliptasya Karjam Karjam Ajanata. Utpati utpati pratipanasya purityago vidyate. When the so-called guru has lost this discrimination between what should be done and what shouldn't be done, what is auspicious and inauspicious. Vishnu himself, the Vaman avatar, has appeared before you and he's saying, don't do it. I know what Jiva Goswami says about feeling compelled to give yourself in service. Don't. You're going to lose everything. But I thought in the Bhagavatam it says, yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shanai, that if Krishna favors you, he takes everything away from you. This is something that's easy to say, but I don't know anyone who's like praying like this every night before they go to bed. Right? So, but still we're told, you know, it's kind of like after you lose everything, then you go, well, it says if Krishna really likes you, he takes everything away. No one's going to ask for that other than Kunti Devi. Right? Vipadat santush. Vipadak shanti tatshasvat tatra tatra jagad guru bhavato darshanam yatsad apunar bhava darshanam. She's saying, when everything's going well, I have a tendency to be distracted and forget you. But when I'm in very adverse circumstances, then my meditation is fixed and unbroken. And by remembering you, then I don't have to suffer in this world anymore. So adversity, bring it on. She's that advanced. And so is Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans. Right? He's a great devotional authority. So he says, he rejects Shukracharya and says, no, I promised him 3 steps of land and that's what I'm giving. And so Vamandev, you know, he starts, they bring out the water pot and do some ritual. Now he's ready to take his 3 steps of land. The dwarf, he starts expanding. And you see he's into like universal form where he includes the earth, all the mountains, seas, ocean, plants, trees, everything, the solar system, the stars, the galaxies. The whole world can be seen within him. This is what they're seeing. But then, and he, with one foot, he covers more or less everything. With his second foot, he's covered everything. There's nothing that remains. So Shukracharya, it shows you Shukracharya actually had some vision. And that we understand this is Leela, pastimes. Otherwise, how can you say, he's Vishnu, don't do it. What are you saying? And we're told that Vishnu, I just want to say that when Hiranyakashipu was searching for him to avenge the death of his brother Hiranyaksha, searching everywhere, Vishnu thought, I'll hide in the one place he would never think of looking, his heart. So Vishnu's in his heart and he's looking. Where is that Vishnu? You know, let me, when I find him, let me at him, I'm going to kill him. Right? But all the while, Vishnu is in his heart. And actually, I mean, as much as it's literally true in that pastime, it's kind of, you know, our situation also. Searching here or there, everywhere, wondering so many things, and, you know, anda antarastam paramanu chaya antarastam. He's always in our hearts. The only person who never abandons us, we're suspicious of. Everyone else in this world, at one time or another, has abandoned us and betrayed us. Right? But the one person who never abandons us, never betrays us, we're suspicious of. Whether, you know, not it'll be beneficial for us to offer ourselves to him in service. So that's where he hid, in his heart. We know the rest. So Vamandev, he took everything in 2 steps. His name, remember, Adbhutakram, as in the Vedas, He of wonderful stride. Now the Puranas are telling us in great detail how wonderful these strides are. But two, one remains. So then Vamandev makes it known to Bali Maharaj, well, you didn't fulfill your promise. I asked for 3 steps. And 2, I've taken everything. No third. So for that, you have to be punished because you broke your promise. And this way, he's sending him to the lower section of the universe. I think Rasatal. It has a happy ending. And now the demigods can reoccupy the heavenly planets. What are you saying? Where am I going to put my 3rd step? You promised 3. And this is where we understand the whole meaning of the pastime, was that Bali Maharaj bows his head and folded palms and says, my Lord, if you would please place for the 3rd step your lotus feet upon my head. And that's where the 3rd step goes. And then we understand, what did Vamadeva want all along? He wants Bali Maharaj. He doesn't need the universe for. From the pores of his body as Mahavishnu, he's generating innumerable universes with his outward going breath. What does he need a universe for? What are you going to do with? For a man who has unlimited universes, what's another universe? Or as Mahaprabhu told Haridas, for one who has crores of Kamadenu cows, what's the loss of a she-goat? Anyway, we wanted the heart. He wants to feel us as we want to feel him. Wanted Bali Maharaj's heart, and he got it. But sometimes you have to take away everything else first, right, to get to the heart. Many things we can learn from that. And I also think that Gurudev, Srila Gurudev, named our beloved godbrother, friend, and Acharya of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, Bhakti Bijay Trivikram Maharaj, that he gave him the name Trivikram Maharaj and Vijay, Victoria. This is also like Vijay Ekadashi, told at noon time is Abhijit. It's mentioned in the Hiranyakashipu pastime, not in that one, in another one. But it means at noon, you'll be successful at noon, you'll achieve victory at noon. Anyway, so Trivikram Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vijaya Trivikram Maharaj, he owned all this property in Brazil. And in time, as he was developing his affinity affection for his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadeva Goswami Maharaj, he offered all of his property, everything he had. But there was one thing left that he had, was himself. And lastly, he completely offered himself to the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev. Like Bali Maharaj, like Atmani Vedanam, wholly offering yourself. So, kind of in 3 steps, Gurudev came there, took everything, but really he wanted Trivikram Maharaj's heart, and that he got. So, and I said, Jiva Goswami has revealed this Kalpado concept of we find pastimes described in previous ages. He is the younger brother of Rupa Goswami. And he's very protective of Srila Rupa Goswami and his writings. Jiva Jaya Virakshitam. Guru Maharaj mentions in his Bhakti Vinod, Virahadasakam, Baladev Vidyabhushan, who also praises Jiva Goswami, how they're protecting the sampradaya from adulteration, modification, or those who would challenge its legitimacy or shastric authenticity, pramanic evidence. Jiva Goswami supplying all of that. And they told once when Rupa Goswami wrote something in one of his divine plays, Balabha Bhatta was visiting, who was also a great scholar, and he pointed out to Rupa Goswami, he said, "Oh, this is very beautiful what you've written, but here in the grammar here, or some, you know, there's a fault. See here, you can correct that." And Rupa Goswami, "Oh, thank you, Prabhu." But Jiva Goswami overhearing that, he cannot tolerate that. So he sees what is written there, and he's the greatest scholar in our line of all time. Right, so Balabha Bhatta goes to bathe, Jiva Goswami is down there doing some different activities, but he doesn't know who Jiva Goswami is yet. He's just a boy, teenager. Right? And Jiva Goswami, then I couldn't help but overhear your discussion with Rupa Goswami, and I'd just like to point out that actually what he wrote is perfect, and here's why. Then he gave a scholarly explanation, perfectly, of why what Rupa Goswami wrote was perfect. And Balabha Bhatta became enlightened, and he was astonished. So he went back to Rupa Goswami and said, "I met this boy down at on the bank of the Jamuna, some extraordinary boy, and he showed me how actually what you've written is perfect. You know, forgive my offense for correcting you." But Rupa Goswami thought, "Who is that boy?" He knows who that boy is. It's Jiva Goswami, and he chastised him and said, "I don't like this. You challenge the senior person. This is not good." He ousted him from his ashram as a punishment. And then we're told Sanatana Goswami, Prabhu, remember they stay under a tree, Nidra Hara Vihara Kaji Vidito Chatyam Tadina, Srinivasacharya same. They live under like a tree for a few days, go to another tree. Sanatana Goswami encounters Jiva Goswami saying, what are you doing here, Prabhu? I thought you were staying with Rupa Goswami. And he said, "Oh, he, threw me out of his ashram." Even Jiva Goswami got thrown out of the ashram of Rupa Goswami. Something else, why? And he explained. And although even Sanatan thinks of himself as a Rupanuga, follower of Rupa Goswami, he's senior in the sense Rupa Goswami's revering Sanatan as guru. And Sanatan Goswami tells Rupa Goswami that what are the qualities of the Vaishnavas? I say, Nama Ruchi, Vaishnava, what is it? Bhagavat Srava, Vaishnava Seva, and Jive Doya means being merciful to the Jiva souls. So he said, there's this one Jiva soul named by the name of Jiva, and you're not being merciful to him. So you must take him back in your ashram. And that Jiva Goswami, he's always defending the dignity of Rupa Sanatan. We're told, as was in vogue in those times, some scholars, debaters, they would go around challenging everyone, then defeat them. You sign their books, so they have a book, how they call it Digvijay, means the all direction. Like you have national, international, so Digvijay is kind of, victorious in every direction. So he meets with Rupa Goswami, challenges him to debate. Rupa Goswami, no need for debate, let me sign. Signs the book, defeated by. He's writing, you know, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Bhakti Prasamrita Sindhu, you know, goes to Sanatana Goswami. No need for debate. Signs. He is writing Brihad Bhagavatamritam and his works. Then when he approaches Jiva Goswami, the man says, you know, I have signature acknowledging defeat from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And Jiva Goswami said, let me see that paper. He shows him the paper with their names, and Jiva Goswami tears the paper into pieces and saying, that is meaningless. They just don't want to waste their time with an arrogant person like you. You have to defeat me. I'm their humble, menial, insignificant servant. You have to defeat me. And then Jiva Goswami annihilates that man. Right. So, to keep the dignity of what is given by Rupa and Sanatana. But then, Sahajiyas, as you could expect, as usual, they find fault with Jiva Goswami. They say, he's not showing the kind of humility that Rupa and Sanatana showed. Right. So he's disqualified from being considered on their level. But we may point out, not disqualified by Srinivasa Acharya, Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalago. He didn't. He put them all, you know, the Shad Goswami Astakam, Rupa Sanatan, Raghunath Das, you know, Gopal Bhatta, Raghunath Bhatta, Jiva. But what we understand from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is that the humility of Jiva Goswami is such, he's willing to sacrifice his prestige as a humble Vaishnava, right, for to maintain the dignity and the honor of his Guru Varga, Rupa and Sanatana. So not for pratishta, for name and fame, self-assertion, but really in service to Rupa and Sanatana, he took that position. And so it's very similar to that of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So one line, and he wrote more than one line, similar, Guru Maharaj in his poetry, Sri Jiva Tejastiti. When he's praising Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying, like Srila Jiva Goswami, Tejas means like power, strength, fire, like very intense power, saying, Sri Jiva Tejastiti, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was like an incarnation of Srila Jiva Goswami, the same thing. What was given by the Goswamis and by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's defending that and protecting it against adulteration, misrepresentation, and from those who would challenge its authenticity or its the pramanic evidence, spiritual evidence that supports this. So with great earnestness, intensity, ferocity, like Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Saraswati Thakur, rendering a similar service to the lion. And Jiva Goswami himself has so many great works, the Sat Sandarbhas, Bhagavat Sandarbha, very beautiful, where he's showing that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate evidence. And many beautiful things are mentioned there and in his other writings. He also wrote with regard to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he established that Radha Damodar temple that those who've been to India are fortunate enough to visit, and our mat is right next to that. and the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami took care of Rupa Goswami in his final days. So, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghurya Sri Jiva Gopalako. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu. Avirbhav Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai. Sri Vaman Avatar Avirbhav Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raghunath. Jai go jai kori charana vandan. Jaha hoite vignanash abhishta puran. Jai go jai dharmi taradan. Kanta bara padarenu mora panchagras. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janome mori abilas. Jabe Braja Koilova. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Kori Lo Prakar. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan. Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyan. Kori Nam Sankirtan Koe Naratamadan. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Prabhupada, Paramahansa Parivraja, Kachara Jasa, Tarasata, Sri Sri Maharaj, Srila Bhakti, Sundar, Govinda Dev, Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Srila Bhakti, Rakak, Shvidar Dev, Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagawan, Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar, Sri Sri Guru, Guranga Gandharva, Govinda Sundar, Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vamandev, Avatar, Avirbhav, Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu Avirbhav Mahamahotavatiti Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sri Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Go Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Navadeeptam Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishpa Varena Srila Asi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Avadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Sukhir Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Maharaj Ki Jai. Maharaj Ki Jai. Maharaj Ki Jai.